This is Tom Browning.
This is Pat Lackey.
This is Raquel Aurelia.
My name is Kurt Evans.
This is Rich Aurelia.
Hi, hello, and welcome, everybody. This is George Grant of the Cincinnati Reds, and welcome. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on RedHotMama.com.
Welcome, baseball fans. You're listening to the Red Hot Broadcast on this Monday, March 5th of 2007. I'm your host, Amanda, and with me, as always, is the crack technical staff. Welcome to the show, Johnny.
You look tired.
I am so tired.
We're doing this. You're not getting out of it.
Okay, okay.
You better be funny or I'll kick your butt later.
Ooh, you promise? Come on, that was funny. Anyway, so here we are on the Red Hot Broadcast, and for the first time in weeks, we don't have a guest on the show. We're just talking to each other for the first time in a long time, and there's
been
a lot of stuff that has gone on. But since we're here, and we have been doing previews of the other NLC teams, I think it makes sense for us to do a preview of the Reds.
The Reds?
We are the experts in that. The Reds are 5-0 spring training record Reds, plus that six-inning affair that they won.
You know, they have lost one game, though.
Which one was
when they played themselves.
The inter-squad.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. So they're really more like...
Seven and one?
they have... Okay, they're 5-1 plus two-thirds of that one, so that's... No, they're 5-0. Five and oh. Plus that two-thirds of that one, so that's 5 2/3. Then how do you count the inter-squad? Because it's kind of a wash, but it's like half of a win and half of a loss. So, yeah, okay, so let's make it half of a win and half of a loss. So what's the least common denominator of a half and two-thirds? That's going to be 4-6 and 3-6, so that's going to be 7-6. Okay, wait, where was I? I'm trying to do these fractions in
my
head.
So anyway, previewing the Reds.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Reds.
Where shall we begin?
How about the big off-season acquisitions?
The biggest...
Yeah.
Well, there wasn't a biggest.
Oh, I think there was. Well, I think that the Gonzalez deal is...
Of the moves, that would be the biggest, but I wouldn't really call it a big move.
Yeah. Okay.
It's going to affect the team a lot and make them a lot better than a lot of people realize, but it's not a splashy or move or...
Well, it's no Soriano, but it's a bad move.
Thankfully.
Yeah, hallelujah. Though he probably would be better at shortstop than he would be in center field. I expect him to fall on his ass.
He caught a fly ball just today.
Well, that's something special. And then I think that it's turning out that this Josh Hamilton move is looking like it's pretty big.
Yeah, they picked him, or rather the Cubs picked him up off of waivers and then off the Rule 5 draft and then traded him to the Reds.
Yeah, and apparently they had arranged that ahead of time.
Yeah.
I don't know the specifics of that stuff. It sounds pretty interesting, but you know, I've got a lot to do.
But he's never played, above A-ball?
A-ball, yeah.
And for the Reds to keep them, he has to stay on the 25-man roster the entire year. I'm just afraid it's going to end up being a Wiley Mopeña thing.
Well, you know, so far he's looking a lot better than Willie Moe.
That's true.
You know, Willie Moe wasn't... I don't know. Willie Moe wasn't...
Willie Moe was all bad. He didn't have any defense to him.
It's true.
Well, he wasn't even all bad. He was all power. Mm-hmm. Bad, so...
He was all big, strapping... Yeah. Man, he was a big fella. Remember that time when we saw him at... we saw him in Indianapolis playing for the Bats? And he's standing with his teammates. He's towering above them. He's this big old strapping like ox of a dude, and the rest of them look like little boys next to him. Anyway, so yeah, the point being that this Josh Hamilton deal could turn out to be quite the impact move. But, gosh, so many things to talk about. I was telling you earlier that I was thinking that you know, after hearing the previews that the other people have done for their teams and talking to other bloggers, and they're just not giving the Reds a whole lot of respect going into this season because
they never do.
Well, they never do. That's true. And I don't mind them not giving the Reds any respect. I'm perfectly happy to take them by surprise. And you know, they're calling me a big old homer, but I think that I just see things that they're not seeing because invariably, people are basing their expectations of the Reds on the trade of last year. And I think... you see two outcomes from two opinions people seem to be getting from the trade, and that's one of them is judging Krivsky as a general manager based on
right.
it. And that makes some sense, at least, because it was a general manager move. But what people don't seem to appreciate is that Krivsky just does everything. He does good moves. He does bad moves. He gets taken to school. He gets he schools others. You know, he seems like a genius 1 minute and a complete dunce the next. And you really, you know, wonder if there's a Ouija board involved.
I think he's the bipolar general manager.
That could be. Perhaps multiple personalities. Are we going to get the good general manager today or the crazy general manager today? So there's that, but like I said, at least that makes sense. The other thing that people seem to think is that, like, because of the losses we suffered in the trade, that somehow that means the Reds aren't going to be able to contend in 2007. Like,
right.
as if the entire success of the team hinged on Felipe Lopez and Austin Kearns. And what they don't seem to appreciate is that the Reds hung in there the entire second half of the season last year without these two, and now they've had the offseason to pick up a new shortstop. And heaven knows we got plenty of right fielders.
That's
we got
right.
right fielders coming out our freaking ears.
If only the Reds were good at finding outfielders.
Power-hitting outfielders?
Yeah.
Yeah. If only they could, like, not turn around and trip over one. Like,
Josh Hamilton!
Seriously. So the thing that I'm getting at is I think that the team's better than they were this time last year. The trade notwithstanding.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. And you don't even have to look at the offense. Just start with the five starting pitchers and end there.
Oh, sure. Sure, but you can look at the offense, as was evidenced today by the team
Every
coming back
Every game
this to...
spring training.
No kidding. Well, you know, in today's game, Paul Wilson started it off, and he was not awesome.
Nope.
And he allowed 3 runs in the first inning, which, you know, by Reds pitcher standards, pretty much run-of-the-mill, I think. And I really didn't think they were going to come back to it. When they were down 8-4... I thought it was a lost cause, and in fact, in the game thread, I was this close, and I've got my fingers, my finger and thumb really close together for those
like
of you
Maxwell Smart missed it by that much, that close.
I was this close to writing in some comment about, oh man, I really wanted them to go 5-0. And then I thought, well, that sounds kind of stupid, because, you know, that sort of implies, like, I don't want them to try things in spring training, even though it doesn't count. But, you know, I am really enjoying them winning, you know. I think that the whole idea that spring training doesn't count, like, it doesn't mean anything. The whole, like, oh, well, spring training doesn't mean anything mantra that people like to spout is, like, so stupid. Because, hello, this is baseball. None of the games mean anything. It's
That's
a sport.
True.
It's not like brain surgery over here. It's not like saving the whales. It's not like coming up with a cure for cancer. You know, we are talking about baseball. None of the games really count. But they're fun. Now who's tired? Mr. Yawning.
Hey, shut up.
So, in any event, you mentioned the starting rotation. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, the top two.
Obvious ones.
Aaron Harang, Bronson Arroyo.
So you think Harang's going to get the opening day start again?
I do.
You know, he might do it better this time.
He would. I don't think he had a clue what he was in for last year. That seems to have been, I don't know when the last time was they had the same pitcher start opening day on more than 1 year in a row.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, you know,
you do it once, it's like overwhelming. It's a weird day.
It's a big old day in Cincinnati. It's not like in Tampa Bay.
giving them away last year.
Yeah, well, was it last year or was it the
year? No, it was last year. They were giving away opening day tickets to Tampa Bay.
At a spring training game. The Reds, Devil Rays game, and they were handing out opening day tickets to Tampa Bay.
Crazy.
Yeah. For free. It wasn't even like, you know, you just walked up to them if you could use them. We weren't going to be in town, or else we probably would have gotten them. We would have been the 3 people in the stands.
Yeah. But anyway, I think I hope Harang gets it, because
I
think he'll do better. Like, once you go through it once, you know, like, oh.
Not only that, but you know Arroyo's going to be out drinking the night before, and he's going to have flu-like symptoms.
Now, so, he came down with flu-like symptoms and missed a start.
Uh-huh. He missed a start.
But the rumor is that it's a hangover or something.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Now, if that's the case, does that mean that for all these years past, flu-like symptoms has been hangovers?
That or herpes.
but like, coaching staff members have come down with flu-like symptoms.
That or I couldn't get her out of my room soon enough. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's our top two. Who's number 3?
And those match up, I don't think any other team in the Central has two their top two starting pitchers being that good.
You know, that's the truth. And I think that no one is giving them remotely the respect they deserve. Now, you see, I'm no Bronson Arroyo lover. Don't get me wrong. But that guy, and I think he's not going to do as fantastically this year as he did at the beginning of last year. But you know what? He doesn't have to do as fantastically as he did at the beginning of last year. As long as he doesn't do as crappy as he did in the middle of the year. If he just evens it out.
Middle it out.
Then he is a way better than adequate pitcher. And I'll take it.
I don't think either of those two are better than the Carpenters or Zambranos. But
dude,
you know what? Any given day.
Hung there with...
Any given day, they can take them.
Oh, yeah.
Even if, like, at the end of the year, maybe their stats aren't as good.
But Harang went up against Carpenter twice, right? And he hung with them both times.
And then Arroyo could do it as well. That's two guys right there.
And who's the Cardinals number two? You know, and who's the Cubs number two?
They don't have one.
So, you know, we're talking about a significantly better pitching staff for the Reds. And, right. Well, I mean, who's the Pirates number two? Who's the Pirates number one?
Their staff is filled with number threes.
Yeah, they've got a lot of young kids, and they might come around. And
sure.
But
after those two, there's a bit of a drop-off. You go to Eric Milton, who's pretty much guaranteed us the number three spot because of his contract.
Well, yeah, that's definitely the case. He is the second highest paid Red on the staff. And I don't know, who was it? John Fay's blog, where he said that he didn't know why Milton was guaranteed a spot. I think by virtue of being the second highest paid Red on the staff, that might guarantee you a spot.
And also, he wasn't terrible last year.
Yeah, he wasn't terrible last year. You know, 2 years ago, he was pretty god-awful. I mean, no, that's an understatement. He was the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
And then last year, you know, he was downright mediocre, maybe
a
little bit
worse.
No,
he was mediocre for the whole year until, I think, right at the end when he tried to pitch through an injury that he shouldn't
have. Never a good idea.
Don't do that.
Oh, I tell you what, that guy needs to get his head together about that, because he's always, and Wilson's was the same way.
Yep.
It was always like, oh, I can be tough. Like, no, you're screwing the team. Stop it, dummy. But yeah, so Eric Milton, really not that bad. And he's had one spring training start and wasn't that awesome. But,
it's
not as if anyone's gotten a loss yet. So there you go.
I don't know that any of the starting pitchers have been all that great yet. They're just getting their work in, starting to
get
back to the field of thing. Yeah. Number four, Kyle Loesch.
Yeah, another one
I'm ambivalent towards. I don't really have any good feelings or bad feelings about him.
Well, yeah.
I'm not sure why he's guaranteed a spot or why the Reds were so interested in him, but he's here.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, on the other hand, you say, well, who else is going to be the number four? Because you're looking at a whole lot of number fives. I mean,
The competition for the number five spot, well, there's like a whole cast of characters, but really, it's kind of nice that they're all going for the number five slot.
Mm-hmm.
Because in years past, they would be going for the number two, maybe the number one. You know, you'd have 80 guys in, slots are open.
I mean, you're talking about Paul Wilson, and he was an opening day starter.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, exactly.
But, yeah. You've got, like, Kirk Sarlos, a guy they got in a trade.
Mm-hmm. I think that he's got a good shot.
I think he's the leading contender. Ground ball pitcher.
Yeah, got like
they don't
that.
Have any of those in the rotation. Then there's the outside dark horse candidate, Paul Wilson, who did not do well today.
Yeah.
And other Reds internal candidates, Matt Belisle, Elizardo Ramirez.
You're missing one important one.
No, I'm not.
Oh, the heck you
are. No,
aren't.
I'm not.
The heck you aren't.
Don't even. He's not. Doesn't count.
He is in the competition.
No, he's not.
The heck he's not.
No, he's not.
Well, he's worth discussing in any event.
Fine, you can say his name.
Homer Bailey. Homer Bailey is definitely in the contention. I think he's in the contention, but I don't think he's going to make it. I'm not telling you he's going to be on the opening day roster.
I don't think
he's
in contention.
Compete.
I think they're just
they had
saying
to
that to like
shut people up.
No,
there was a lot of people shutting needed to shut up.
Help give him some fire. That
could be too. I don't know
because
if he had come out in his start and he had freaking dominated the entire way through.
Okay.
It would have been hard not to look at him as a potential fifth
starter.
Yeah,
but that wasn't going to happen. He's not that good yet.
And it didn't. It didn't. He didn't come out and dominate.
He still needs work.
He was all right. He was fine. And in years past, they might have had to resort to that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think he's in a good place to start and kick some ass in AAA and come up midseason.
He's going to pitch quite a bit to major leaguers in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll probably get beat up a little bit.
That's fine.
And he's then he'll go to AAA and like, oh, okay, here's what I work on.
He's got
to
know what he's up against. You know, it's like...
And then he'll come up in the middle of the year.
It's like our Special Olympics volleyball team. You know, we coast through the entire season. Because we're a pretty good volleyball team.
We were.
Pretty good. And, you know, for a Special Olympics volleyball team, you know, there's at least one person on your team that you can't count on, you know, for doing anything at all.
That's right.
Who's actually an obstacle to the team. We coast through. And then, so we get placed in, like, the highest bracket or the second highest bracket. And come up against this team that just completely took us to school.
Yeah,
completely.
They had plays on everything. Every volley ended with them doing a set and a spike. And it was a really good spike.
And it was not just the partners. It was the athletes, too.
Yeah, they were good.
We got points on them flubbing up the serves. That was pretty much the only time. It was, rally points. So every serve got a point. But, you know, they would flub up the serves, and we would get some points on it. And that was, at the beginning, like you said. And then, you know, the team started to adjust, and we started to get... You can't know what to work on. You can't start to adjust until you have that competition.
That's right.
We were coasting. We had no idea what we were up against. If we could have played them in the season, we might have had a prayer in the tournament, but we didn't.
No. Though we did make a good showing in the second game.
Oh, sure.
Of the match.
My point being that he gets a good look at some people in spring training. He gets some time in AAA to get, you know, to that next level just before the majors, and he may be ready to make an impact.
I think he will be this year.
I bet it will be, too. So that's what we're looking at rotation-wise.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's kind of a big drop-off after two, and it's kind of even a bigger drop-off after three, I think. But you're looking at two darn good ones, which is
I think Milton and Loesch are about the same.
You think?
Yeah.
Well, okay.
I mean, yeah.
I see that.
And then Sarlos has been an average pitcher in his major league career, so.
Plus, you know, you gotta love a guy with two sets of double vowels in his name.
Yeah, what's that about?
I don't know, but I want to call him Sarlos. Anyway, what about the bullpen?
The bullpen's kind of crazy. It's filled with a bunch of old guys. Well, surprising, because Krivsky's in charge, you know.
Yeah, old guys. What about these fifth starter candidates that don't make the fifth starter position? Are they going to be pitching out of the bullpen? Wilson, we're talking about Belial, we're talking about Ramirez.
I don't think so. The only one who might is Belial. Ramirez, they just send back down to the minors because he's got options and he needs more.
He kicks mask
experience
on there.
Wilson, I don't know if he doesn't make it. I can't see them putting him in the bullpen.
I don't either. I think that if he doesn't make it, he might just be done.
He
was done last
season. I thought he was completely done, too. But no... out of nowhere.
You know, people are not there's a whole lot of people on board with the idea of giving Matt Belial some starts. I like him as the long reliever myself. I don't know why.
Yeah,
he seems
like he's done okay in both roles, and he's never gotten any real attention. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because he's gotten lost in all the general manager and manager shuffles that the Reds have had over the years. And he's just kind of like last man standing that no one claims anymore.
Mm. Good-looking guy, though.
Yeah.
A little bit of a butthead face, but yeah.
He'd probably be better served in changing organizations, but he doesn't have that option right now.
That's true. He might be better served in changing organizations. Sort of like Chris Norfia, I think. But we'll get to that. For the moment, we're ready to talk about the bullpen. So,
the bullpen.
You're saying that the bullpen's crazy.
Got a bunch of old white people.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Where are the minority relievers?
Cormier is French, right? French Canadian, maybe?
He's Canadian. It's not a minority.
Oh, you're right.
Anyway, so we're talking about.
They signed David Weathers, they re signed him, and then they signed Mike Stanton, both old.
I'm actually all for Weathers.
Yeah,
Stanton, I don't know anything about.
They've signed them both to 2-year deals, and they're both old, and that's too long. But the plan seemed to be that they would be one's a righty, one's a lefty, that they'd be. Closing
they'd
games.
Be the old righty-lefty combination.
Yeah.
You need one of each. What else? Cormier is pretty old, too.
Yes, he is. But he's not a closer. He's just a setup guy like Bill Bray and Todd Coffey. Those five guys are going to make the team.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And just recently, in the last week, they picked up Dustin Hermanson, who as recently as 2 years ago saved 30-some games for the World Series champion Chicago White Sox.
What the hell happened to make him drop off so fast?
He had a bad back.
Well, we've heard about that. Mm.
And he's only like 33 or 34, so he's younger than the other guys. Mm-hmm. And they only signed him to a minor league deal.
Sure.
I expect him to make the team. I think he's had more than a year off of pitching. He's figured out, he's gotten his back healthy. Otherwise, the Reds wouldn't have signed him, I presume. You know, physicals, examine them first, please.
Well, I think that you may be jumping to conclusions.
I know.
Which brings up somebody who is missing from your list.
Oh, yes.
One Gary Majeski.
Oh, he is not making the team opening day. He hasn't pitched yet in spring training.
So, what's it? I mean,
he's still injured.
I mean, he's... Okay, not making the team. I mean, he's going to be on the team. He's just not going to be... He's going to be on the DL, right?
Probably.
So, what the hell? What the hell? Have you heard lately about the grievance?
No.
Have they
filed the grievance? I think I saw recently that one of the reporters asked, and there was no news.
Have they even filed it?
Yeah, I don't think so.
What the hell? Get off your ass, Krivsky. File that grievance. Sure, you might not... I mean, from what I understand, the delay is all in their... wanting to do their research before they file the grievance. But isn't there a statute of limitations on this?
I mean, don't know.
This is not getting fresher.
I don't know. I've never heard of grievances anyway, so...
Well, sure. I mean, I haven't either. Most people know better than to deal with Bowden. Hello. But we've already beat that horse to death, I'm sure. Nevertheless...
But Majeski's looking like a real... crappy player to have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
Just keeps getting worse. But that's six guys there with Hermanson in the bullpen, and they've talked about going with only 11 pitchers.
Yeah, right. What about Guardado?
If he's lucky, he'll be pitching in the minors in the middle of the year, doing rehab stuff.
That'd be all right. We could use a fresh closer in the middle of the year. Well, I mean, no, seriously, because what if Hermanson works out okay? Works out well, you know, and he's closing games down. And we've got Guardado coming back, and he's awesome. In the middle of the year, we're looking at the playoffs with two closers. That could be pretty badass, really.
I think that could...
As long as they don't try to
convert... Not be a bad thing.
As long as they don't try to convert any of them to starters.
There you go.
No converting closers to starters. You know, I didn't even think that this team needed a closer.
I know, and now they've got...
But now they've got, like, six of them. I don't even know anything, but there's another old guy that they signed
who has closing experience. I don't expect to make the team, but Kerry Leitenberg, he's been a closer before.
Sure.
But, they just signed a bunch of people and
just like
bringing
in
all these.
It's Krivsky's way. He can't just have like one or two of something. He's going to have the whole
deck. He's
got
to collect the whole set. Save the whales. Collect the entire set.
Collect them all. So that could be putting the Reds into a pretty good position, pitching wise, come the end of the season. So, if they're going to have just the 11,
if they have just the 11, that's who I would expect it to be.
That gives them plenty of room to have six or seven catchers, right?
There's talk of only going with two.
What?
I know, it's crazy.
No,
I can't see that
happening. Have you actually heard Krivsky say that he's only going to go with two?
He hasn't said he's only go with. He'd said that.
Did he actually say it, though, or did
I read a quote
it?
From him saying that going with three catchers wasn't set in stone or something to that effect.
Mm.
Where he didn't say they weren't going to, but he actually opened the door to that possibility for the first time in more than a year.
I don't know. I think that, you know, when he signed Chad Mohler, he's saying things like, you got to have depth at that position. He said, you can't have just two catchers.
I know.
So until such time as he comes out and says, okay, you can't have just two catchers. But the thing is, the team doesn't have just two catchers.
I know. They've got Hatterberg.
Emergency
backup right there.
That's emergency backup. They've got Friel. Emergency backup. Oh, hell. You know he wants to, too. Oh, he's super excited about the idea. He'd probably break his fingers, but he'd love it.
Yeah.
So the point is that they've got options. They do not have to have a third catcher in there just because Valentin is their primary pinch hitter.
Yep.
But nevertheless.
But they still have David Ross and Javier Valentin, they're still going to have one of the best batteries.
Mm-hmm. I will agree with that. I will agree with that because the catching position in Cincinnati is like dramatically underrated. I don't understand how you could have missed how good the catching has been for the last, like, 2-3 years. But it has been fantastic.
Yeah.
And what are we looking at that's different here? minus Jason LaRue. That's all we're looking at.
And who I do expect him to do very well in Kansas City this year.
I'll be watching his career with much interest. I liked LaRue.
And I think
country boy.
Yeah.
Good looking fella. Sweaty
nice,
as hell.
Nice John Deere hat.
Great John Deere hat. Had to love the John Deere hat.
Always appearing in camouflage t-shirt.
He did not look so classy out of uniform, let me tell you what. But in the costume, he looked great. Okay, so I think catcher is set up.
Yeah, you're probably right. It'll probably be all three.
I wish, though, that I can understand having the third catcher, especially in the situation where Valentini is your primary. Your primary pinch hitter. I just wish that their third catcher was better. You know, yeah. If you're going to carry three, make one of them, you know, make that third one be good. Because what you're talking about really is making him be your second catcher, and you just, you know, you've got a pinch hitter.
Yeah.
And Javi's a good little catcher.
He is. He's a very good
little pinch hitter. He's a fantastic pinch hitter. He's a decent little first baseman. He's a little short one.
He
doesn't stretch so much.
Well, he could probably play first this year. I mean, they have a shortstop who wouldn't overthrow first as much.
That's true.
But their third baseman still might have issues.
Truly told. So that is a great segue into our infield then. So let's go around our infield. First base is the problematic one.
That's true. All the other positions are set.
The other positions are
looking pretty
good.
You've got Brandon Phillips at second. Looking good in spring training so far.
Oh, heck yeah.
New acquisition at short, Alex Gonzalez. I think those Gonzalez and Phillips are going to make a very good double play combo. Very solid, athletic, good defensive guys up the middle.
I'm looking forward to watching it.
It's just going to be amazing how much better the defense is going to be.
Well, it'd be good to have that defense and then have Sarlos in there throwing his ground balls.
That's right. Could be a thing of beauty.
Oh, could be. I would enjoy that very much. But not so much if it went up the third baseline, because Encarnacion...
He's fine, as long as he doesn't rush things.
He's a kid. You know, it's easy. He's been around for so long.
He'll be fine. Last year was his first year in the majors.
Right.
Everybody sucks in their first years, at least defensively. I mean, there's lots of players come on hitting the cover off the ball like he did for a good portion of the year. The defense is just really hard.
Yeah. It sure is.
I mean, Barry Larkin had, I think, 20 errors in his first season, too. Mm-hmm. It just happens.
Yeah, but did he have 3 in one game?
I don't know about his rookie year, but we saw him do that once.
That's right. We did see him do that once. Well, there you go. Edwin Encarnacion in good company.
That's right. He actually is. He'll be fine.
Oh, and he shouldn't have any competition this year.
Unless they start putting Castro there.
I think that they could start putting Conine there. Well, actually...
that would be just asinine.
Yes, but Naren loves to do it. He wants to play every player at the craziest positions. He would love to have Soriano so he could play him at catcher.
He'd be a very good offensive catcher.
That's true. He would contribute positively to the offensive capabilities.
Well, do you think Conine will actually make the team? He's the guy they signed to platoon with Hatterberg at first and then drop fly balls in right field.
I don't know, but he does the most god-awful version of Stone Temple Pilots plush.
That's right.
For the Osei Can You Sing
I forgot he was on there. He hasn't even played yet. He's like in spring training and his back is...
He's not young.
Yeah.
He is not young at all.
Another infielder guy that they got who might make the team is Mark Bellhorn, who's been tearing the cover off the ball.
He's been pretty awesome at the beginning of spring training.
I'm not sure which of those two will make it, but I imagine one of those will be the backup infielder.
That could be. I think that in either case, Bellhorn's been having a great spring. But in either case, it's almost like, why even bother platooning Scott Hatterberg? Because when it was Aurelia, that was different. You know, Aurelia was awesome. Aurelia was great. They wanted to find ways to get him into the lineup every day, and so it made sense to platoon him. With either of these guys, it's like, well, why take the starts away from Hatterberg? You might as well just let him go out there and play.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
You know who's... I guess you've got him in the outfield.
Who's that?
Ryan Friel.
Yeah, he's going to be more of an outfielder this year.
Maybe they'll play him at first. They could play him at first. He would be the most energetic first baseman. We're looking for a platoon of Hedberg.
That could work.
He's right-handed.
That could work if they put Griffey in right. Then Friel can also cover right field.
That's a great idea. I love that. That's a great idea. And then when balls go out to right field, he could throw them to himself at first.
There you go.
That would be badass. Anyway, so shall we move on out to the outfield?
Sure.
Okay. So the question that I think is tricky about the outfield is, where the hell is Griffey going to play?
I don't know.
Because...
not in left field.
There you go. Not in left field. I think that, you know, going into the season, going into the spring training, he is number one center fielder, just because that is the throne he currently sits on. But there's no question that he's not the best defensive choice at center field.
No. Denorfia, Crosby, Friel, Hamilton. Griffey would be better than Dunn.
Not Dunn.
In center.
What about Conine?
He'd be better than Conine.
That's the thing. So it's like you want to get Griffey into the lineup because he's clutch. You know, he's a hell of a hitter. He's a Hall of Famer. He's winning smile.
Right, that smile that helps him win games.
Oh, I think it does. I think you underestimate the power of the smile. So in any event, they've talked about moving him over to right field.
Right.
Who's gonna knock him out? Well, right now it's looking like it's going to be Josh Hamilton, if anyone's going to do it. But for crying out loud, this guy's never played above A-ball.
Yeah.
I know he's phenomenally talented, but is it really enough to knock Ken Griffey Jr. out of center field?
The outfield will be interesting. I think... I don't know.
You know it's not going to be Denorfia.
No.
Denorfia is going to get...
or someone doesn't like him.
He has
options, so he's going to be up and down all year.
Yeah, so like what...
Louisville,
like,
the Reds.
Like I alluded to earlier, I think that Denorfia would probably actually see a major boost in his career if he were in some other organization.
Gosh, I hope that doesn't happen, because I really like him.
Oh, I really like him, too. He's the heartthrob. But, you know, if he were to get a chance someplace else, it'd be kind of exciting to see him come into his own. Yeah. I like the idea when they were talking about Florida being interested in him.
Yeah.
I was all for that. Give him center field in Florida. It's a big old center field. He'd tire himself out. So, anyway.
But it won't. I don't expect him to make the team. But Bubba Crosby probably will.
You know, Bubba Crosby.
And that's not a bad thing.
He seems like a good little player, and I think that he's got more people pulling for him this off season than you'd expect, because specifically a Bubba fan going around spreading the Bubba goodwill. You know, she's so cute and nice, assuming it's a she. And so sweet, and goes around and spreads the goodwill, and it's difficult to think that she's not improving his, not performance, but, you know, the number of people who are excited for him, who are hoping that he makes the team this year.
And I think he will. I'm pretty sure he will. So that's the roster right there.
So you're talking about Dunn staying in left.
Yep.
Griffey staying in center, or possibly moving to right.
Right.
Doesn't really matter, because that just leaves
assuming
one other position.
Assuming he'll be ready opening day.
Or probably Josh Hamilton. And we're talking about Crosby probably being the backup. Where the hell does Friel play? Where does Friel play?
Doesn't matter.
Just anywhere?
Yeah.
They're going to do the same thing they did last year, where they have 150 different lineups.
Right.
So that Friel can get in someplace.
Right.
It's not so bad.
Yeah. I think that's a better way to go with Friel, because then he won't be starting every day somewhere.
He does seem to do, but I hate to say it, because I would love to see Friel play every day. But he does seem to do a little bit better with a day off a week or so. No.
Yep.
Rest that hyperkinetic little body of his. So, there you go. What about the management? You think we're keeping him? There was a story earlier this season about Naren being on the hot seat, you know.
I don't see why.
I can't imagine why either.
They overperformed for most of last year.
Yeah. It's pretty sad at the end of the year, but then they went and fired Chambliss.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it is his fault. They had a scapegoat for that one.
That's right. I don't know if they have a... I mean, he could always be fired if they get off to a terrible, terrible start.
It'd have to be a pretty terrible start.
Yeah.
It'd have to be like
the Pirates last year.
I think it would have to be worse than that.
I don't know.
Well, what was the Pirates' start last year? They only lost like 8 or something, right?
Well, didn't they have that losing streak?
Yeah, their losing
13
streak.
13 in a row.
Was it 13? I thought it was only like 8.
It was into doubles.
Man. How depressing would it be to be a Pirates fan?
About as depressing as a Royals fan.
How about a Cubs fan? No, see, a Cubs fan have a way of building you up and then crushing you. Whereas the Pirates, you know, keep you down and defeated the entire season. Well, what do Reds fan? What do the Reds do?
I don't know.
I think that they're going to win this year. That's what I think.
I think they're going to win more than they lose.
I think they're going to be pretty badass. I think that we're looking at a pretty solid, except for you know, it's a couple question marks at right field and first base, which is really more about having too many people to put there than not enough. You know, it's looking like a really freaking solid team.
I think so. I think it's more balanced than people critics realize. We'll see.
And the question of the offense that was supposedly lost with Kearns and with Lopez. You know what? Kearns never really gave us what he was supposed to give us anyway.
No.
As much as I miss him, oh,
and
he was so pretty.
I don't know that Felipe contributed more than he allowed.
I don't know, but you know, when it comes down to it, the Reds had so much offense. They had so much offense.
Yeah.
So many home runs. They did not need a power hitting shortstop.
No.
They needed
some defensive shortstop.
I wish they'd gotten more out of the trade.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. I would like to have seen like something equitable come back and not an injured Majeski.
Even close. You know, we could the team still could have lost in the trade, but.
But yeah, lost less perhaps. Gotten less of a spanking.
But it's not going to hurt them that much in the long run.
No, I agree. I think that
the Reds can always find other outfielders.
Like
it's
so many things. It's sort
so
of like
easy.
Losing your job, you know, where, you know, it really sucks at first. You really sting about it, but, you know, probably you're better off just because of the change. You go and do something else. Go
maybe Dunn wouldn't have rededicated himself and lost weight in the offseason.
Knocked that girl up.
And knocked that girl up if Kearns hadn't. Had still been there.
Maybe not. Maybe not. I was just thinking that girl, you know, may have had something to do with his weight loss. She may be nagging. She may be back.
Nagging can be good.
Oh, nagging is good for you. I mean, obviously not, you know, just bitchy nagging. But the kind of nagging that's like, oh, honey, didn't you say you wanted to get to the gym today? Honey, I don't want you to forget. Oh, remember? Oh, didn't you tell me that you wanted to mow the lawn? Not today.
No,
March.
And somehow I doubt Dunn mows the lawn.
Probably not. You ought to, though. I mean, he's strong enough. You probably have a riding lawnmower.
No, he has one of those push ones.
One of the ones that isn't even
no
power.
Gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that we're rambling. I think it's probably time to wrap this up. Do we have anything besides our Reds preview to talk about?
I can go through some news.
Okay, what do you got?
Well, you haven't talked in so long that one thing that we missed was some rule changes in effect. New rule changes.
Oh, really?
2007.
In baseball?
Yeah.
This isn't football, right?
No.
Where they
Thank
change
God.
The rules every other week.
Yeah.
How many feet do you have to have in bounds? Three?
But for the first time in over a decade, mm-hmm. they've made some changes to the rule book. One of them is directly related to the Reds.
Oh, yeah?
Do you remember a few years ago when the Reds were involved in a game that ended in like the fourth
yes.
inning because of weather, and it was tied?
Yeah.
And there was bad weather, and they just called it off.
And started over.
Yeah. But all the stats of those some-odd innings counted.
That doesn't make any damn sense.
It didn't make any sense. And then they had to play the entire game over, starting from mm-hmm. first inning.
And they were all exhausted.
Yeah. Well, now the rule change is that the game will pick up where it stopped.
That
they'll
makes
just suspend
a whole lot
it.
More
they'll
sense.
Pause it. They'll hit the start button and pause the game. And then
I can tell
up.
You've been playing a lot of Lego Star Wars.
So there
well,
you go. Thanks
good.
To the
that's,
Reds.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
That's a good improve. That's an improvement on the rules. Good for them.
And that's the biggest one. The others are all just little minor things, like the pitchers have less time to throw the ball or something.
Are people timing them?
Yes.
Whatever. All right. What else? Why do they want to speed up a baseball game?
I don't know.
You know, it's not
the
really
lack of
that
a time
long.
Limit is one of the things I enjoy about it.
I think that really what I used to see baseball as being a very long, boring game before I was into the fandom of it. But really, the pacing of baseball, I think, actually makes it easier for me to multitask. And since I am a chronic multitasker, you know, I can be on my computer, I can be watching the game, I can be listening to something else, I can be, you know, putting comments on stuff and not be missing everything.
Right.
As opposed to, like, if you're watching basketball or something where you'd better have your eyes freaking glued to the screen the whole time or you're
yep.
going to miss half the game. So I don't see any benefit to shortening the
game.
Well,
and the games, have been averaging less than 3 hours the last few years, which that's shorter than a football game.
Well, yeah.
It's not shorter than a basketball game, but those are really short anyway.
That's true. It is constant running. The players would probably pass out if they had run for 3 hours. What else you got?
And some news about the Cubs and their spring training efforts. Mm-hmm. What, we haven't even been playing. They haven't even been playing games a week, but already they're rounding into midseason form.
Already,
they just lost to the White Sox, 13-2.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That sounds like a red score, only the other way.
In 9 innings, there were only 3 innings where the Cubs didn't allow any runs.
Wow.
So six innings. They were scored upon.
Wow.
Really?
Man, so their whole pitching staff took a spanking then, because I mean, it's spring training, so they're running someone different out there every inning.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's good to see that they took care of their pitching and offensive issues in the offseason.
You know.
It's funny, isn't it?
It's so sad. It's so sad, because all those Cubs fans are getting their hopes all up again. They're all going to get trounced again.
That's right. And completely unrelated news, Sammy Sosa hit his first home run in 19 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Spring training game for the Rangers, helped them beat the Royals.
Well, how nice for him. For the Rangers. I thought he signed out with the Nationals.
No, with the Rangers. Oh. That was a year ago. He turned down a minor league deal with the Nationals and preferred to stay at home.
He should have taken it.
Yeah. Do you think that they checked his bat?
I hope that they, checked his back. Because his back problems are going around, and I can see him being a victim of that. All right, so is that all that we got this week? That's plenty, man. This is the longest freaking podcast we've had in weeks.
There's a lot to talk about.
Baseball's here.
Woo!
I know, I'm so excited. I'm loving the spring training games.
That's right. That's because they're undefeated.
I know.
How long will that last?
I don't know. But hopefully. But if they keep up at this rate, saying things like, hang in there, till next week, hang in there, sounds a little bit ridiculous. We should think of something else to say.
Okay.
Party on?
No. Until next week. Enjoy the baseball.
Enjoy the baseball, everyone. And
go Reds. Reds!
The Red Hot Broadcast is recorded live in our parents' basement every Monday evening at 10:30. To send your comments to the show, email us at rhm@red-hot-mama.com and visit the website at red-hot-mama.com.
Hey, Johnny?
Yeah?
Do you think when they're making cat food at the cat food factory that they take any special effort to keep mice from falling into the food? Why isn't there mouse-flavored cat food?